Justin, we have an incredible announcement for the people. Tell them.
Big announcement coming. Austin, Texas, this November, the second Intentional Fatherhood Retreat. We are pumped. What dates, Brooke?
November 12th through the 14th, you can join us in Austin, Texas for a weekend to get away and to be refreshed and transformed as a father. Tell the people what they can expect, Justin.
We're going to have incredible worship. We're going to have great teaching. We're going to have a community of dads all coming together, not just to hear a biblical framework on how to live intentionally as a father, but also to be equipped with tons of practical habits and help on how to do that. Most of all, though, this is the kind of thing where you come into a community of dads who are all trying to follow Jesus into fatherhood together. And let me tell you guys, this will change your life. So we want you there.
Come out, go get your tickets at intentionalfatherhood.org. You can get all of your tickets there. And please, again, join us. Austin, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Can't wait to see you there.
Welcome to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast, where we explore what it means to live on purpose as a father and how legacy starts at home. I'm Justin Whitmore Early.
And I'm Brooke Moser. We'll be your hosts, and we desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast. Here we are today. Episode 8. I can't believe we're here. Season 3. We've done it a whole season on vocation and work and calling and ambition and all the things. Last week was spiritual disciplines and the things that we really believe that help in the hiddenness of fatherhood and the hidden practices of fatherhood that sustain your vocation. And lovely conversation. I love lovely conversation with you about that. And today we're going to get into just really a topic that is obviously so, I would say literally, I'm using this word, but it's an important one, the climax of the season in many ways, because it's family and work.
Yep.
And this is the we would say tension point, or what it feels like a tension point, but really, how do you honor all the things of your family as a father, but then all the things of your work?
Right.
And a lot of the questions we get, work-life balance, is that such a thing? I think. Actually, no.
No.
All these different topics. We're going to come to that. But before we do, Justin, tell our folks, tell our gentlemen, our friends, our sisters listening, how they can follow along, how they could help us.
You should like, subscribe, and send us a question.
I like it.
Liking this podcast really helps share it with other people. Subscribing helps you stay informed on the content. Hmm. And we love hearing from you. So shoot us a voice memo, your name, where you're from. Your question, state it in the form of a question and send it to hello@intentionalfatherhood.org so that we can hear from you. We want to hear from you. And when we talk about fatherhood and work this whole season, and when we announced it and when I posted on social media about it, you know, a lot of the questions are basically this. I kind of imagine it's taken us seven episodes to get here now.
Yes.
But so many of your questions are about this idea. How do I balance, you know, work life and family life? It is one of the premier questions. We want to tell you it's an illusion. It's an illusion, Michael.
Yes.
If you haven't seen Arrested Development, turn off this episode and go watch it.
Great call. Wow, that's a great call.
Because balance, it's not the goal. There's two problems with that way of thinking. One, it assumes that your work and your family are opposed to each other. Balance literally means they're on the opposite ends of a scale. And so, you know, they're in tension and you need to find the perfect balance. And that's the second reason it doesn't work, is that they would never perfectly balance and they're not in tension in the first place. They must be integrated. You are called to be a father. You are also called to be a worker. And yeah, what we want to talk about on this episode is how to integrate them. What does it look like? We're not saying it's easy. Ooh. It's going to be filled with mistakes and errors and you getting the order of your loves wrong. We talked about this in the last episode on spiritual disciplines.
Yes.
You need to be ordering your loves rightly. But so how do you love work and love your family in the right order? We got, I think, five categories we want to hit on. Okay.
I was just going to say one thing about the work-life balance.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I want to give you the five.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only reason, because you set that up so perfectly, is just the question that basically maybe the meta way to think of it, the way I think of it, is that a lot of dads ask, how do I fit my family into my work? Mm-hmm. So how do, like, I got this big thing, but how do I fit my family into it? But it's really actually how, what is my work for in light of my family? So what am I doing to actually help invest into my family? How can I bring my family in? Mm. Where is there overlap? For Elizabeth and I, this is actually something that's really interesting because we do work together, but it's also something that we try to integrate our kids in. So I know that's different for everybody, but it's just to say they're not opposed, as you highlighted. Yeah. They are actually, in many ways, we are trying to figure out, what is your work for in light of your family?
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? It's not like how you can fit these things in. So if we can start from the very beginning, recognize these are not opposed. They are, it's a new way of thinking about
yeah.
the thing that you're yeah, living yeah. in every day, which you said. So the five things that you were mentioning, I'd love
to. Yeah, this is not systematic, even though I am prone to systematic and diagrammatic thinking. Yeah. These are honestly just kind of five.
Excessively so.
Maybe I might be out of order in my loves.
I was trying to have a conversation with you. He's like, can we diagram it? I'm like, no, just listen to me. I'm your friend. I just want you to like bear my burdens.
Dude, I'm a corporate lawyer. If you can't make an entity diagram of the transaction, then you don't know what you're doing.
Yes. But yes, let's talk about this.
These really... If I was going to write a book on family and work, I wouldn't necessarily.
You call it habits of the household. Habits of the household.
Dude, let me cook here.
I'm sorry, dude. I just can't.
I wouldn't necessarily write it out in these five categories. Here are just five common questions we get. Mm-hmm. How do you have appropriate boundaries for work? Mm-hmm. Number one. Yep. Number two, how do you stay intentional in the evenings and on the weekends with your family, though you're exhausted from work? Okay.
Reach that.
Number three, I hear this more from the wives than the husbands. How do we be helpful in the work of the home?
Yes.
Because your job is not the only place your kids are watching you work. They're actually watching you work at home, setting the table, doing dishes, cleaning up stuff, or fixing stuff, you know, doing yard work, whatever. There's a work of the home that your kids need to be invited into. Mm-hmm. And need to see you do. And that relates to the last two points. Number four, how do you invite your kids into your work? As in, how do they see you at work? Hmm. Can they? Do they ever come to the office? Do they ever join you on trips? How do you tell them about your work? How do you teach them about work? And that leads to number five, teaching your kids to work. Mm. Chores, jobs, when to get a job, this stuff. So we will bounce back and forth between all of these. Mm. I do want to start with two verses. One is 1 Timothy 5:8. And this is just some biblical backing for the idea of providing and work being central to your call. Mm-hmm. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Pretty intense, Paul. Pretty, whoa. Yeah.
Chill out, dude.
I'm not going to pick this apart theologically. No, I'm not even going to go super deep. I'm just saying you don't have to look super far in the writings of the Bible to find that God values your work. This was you know, episode one of this season. Paul, writing in the New Testament, assumes that providing for your family the life of work is a central part of your call. Mm-hmm. So we should make that common assumption that us being a father, us being a husband, us being a lover of God, lover of neighbor, and us being a worker are all integrated parts of what it means to follow Jesus. So how then do we integrate them? Well, number one, I suggest you have to have boundaries on your quote unquote 9-to-5 job, 8-to-6 job, the work that you make your income by, whatever you want to call it. Most of us dads, me included, are prone to making this all of our life. We take our identity from it. We don't know how to stop it, particularly in the age of smartphones. Work comes home with us. And so how do you have boundaries for work? Here are three of my most basic suggestions.
And these are your boundaries that you, these are the ones that you're
these
working
These are super
through.
Simple suggestions on creating boundaries from work. My strong suggestion to you is that you do not work at the house while your kids are awake, if possible.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Give me tons of exceptions to this.
Of course.
But for me as a corporate lawyer, where work is easily part of every Saturday, part of every evening, part of every Sunday, one of the goals that I have is that when I get home at 6 p.m., And by the way, I'm going a lot of the day at work. I leave it right around 8. Mm-hmm. I don't get back till 6. For anybody doing the math, you know, that's 10 hours devoted to time away from the home. You can get a lot done. Mm-hmm. But before I leave the home, I'm just with the boys in the morning. And after I get home at 6, I try to be with them, not looking at emails, not looking at my phone, not doing any work until maybe after they go to bed. Mm-hmm. And then if it, you know, as appropriate, I might get back out the laptop
and
work.
That's when you and I just really drum up our texting. That's when
I'm answering all Brooke's texts.
How about you send me a text, big guy?
I need to return your voice. Yeah, so you're going to nuance this, Father, as appropriate. But
yes,
one of the boundaries I would suggest is just think about, can you be super present with them while they're awake and keep your work to before they're up while you're actually out at the office or after they go to bed at night?
That's really good. And I think you were appropriate to say, just to be fair, like that might not be possible for
might
some.
Not be.
I mean, you said
but
that.
It wasn't always possible in the early stages of my career.
No. But I also think it doesn't work for me to work from home. Like we have tried it so many times. It is not work. When I'm dad at home, I'm dad at home. And I find that if it is so much easier, even if that means you go to wave to a coffee shop or whatever, like it was way more easy. So yes, that's a great.
And
boundary.
If you do what work from home, if you have a home office or something like that, you're going to nuance this better than we are.
Yes,
but maybe think about that. Maybe think about just that's the room where you really focus in, and when you're out of that room, you're really out in your present. Mm. Just put a boundary around.
Oh yes. Okay. What's your other boundary?
My other two are really brief.
Yeah. Go.
Sabbath.
Yep.
We talked about that last time, but it's super important. If you don't have a Sabbath rhythm, you are probably letting work overtake your family. You're also letting it overtake your spiritual life probably, but you're definitely letting it overtake your family. And then Saturdays are for the boys. I just think a great—
Your boys, not the boys like your friends.
They're for the boys.
Or that too?
And friends.
Yes. No,
I have four boys and I really think about Saturdays as spending time with them. I have great coworkers who I respect who work a half day every Saturday. I've been in stages of life where I've had to work a good bit on Saturdays, but I aspire as a norm, not a rule, but as a norm to really just be with my kids.
Yes.
Maybe giving Lauren time off.
Yep.
Doing something outdoors. And that leaves me, Brooke, with a lot of time in the week. Mm. 50 hours of the work week plus a little at night if I want to add. Let's say that gets me up to 54, 55. That's a lot of work.
Yes.
And most studies show that after that amount of work, your productivity sharply decreases.
Yes.
So you can, Father, work. You can run a company. You can be in private equity. You can be an investment banker. You can be in a corporate lawyer. I'm naming professions that I'm around that are known for their overwork. You can carve appropriate boundaries on those things and still do great work.
Yes.
And still have a great family life by keeping guardrails.
Oh, the boundaries, I love them. Can I just, a couple notes on Sabbath? Sabbath is a really important one to us as well. We keep it every week. Let me highlight something. I'm going to say a word that's going to be a blessing to all you men. Sabbath sex. I'm telling you, having a rhythm where you plan that in, two of my favorite S's back to back, and actually really three because it's Saturday Sabbath sex. You know, like,
wow.
The trinity of S's. And I think when you plan in, so like there's so much restoration and blessing. Like one of the boundaries is having that. I know for us, we end up traveling. So our work looks different, but you travel as well. But your work week is very established. And I have a very established work week, but when I'm traveling, I'll end up traveling. This is a great example. I was in Nashville for our motherhood retreat and I popped right over here and I'm going to be gone a total of like 8 days. So my rhythm when I'm gone, I just told you, I was like, we were talking about like, maybe we'll hang tonight. I was like, I think I'm going to do a Sabbath night by myself.
Yeah.
But because like my body's already I'm feeling like I got to rest. Like it's been almost a week. And so, but with the family, there's like times when we're at home and then there's times when we're away. And when we're not traveling, I'm telling you that rhythm of Sabbath, we all look forward to it. Our kids get sugary cereal and they get to watch something in the morning on Sabbath. Judge all you want, anybody, any haters?
Sabbath feels different.
Dude, it feels different. And they know what day it is based upon how close, how far we are from Saturday or how close we are to Saturday.
That's great.
So it's an amazing gift. They get into it. We love it. It's time together. And sometimes, can I just be honest about the backside weakness of Sabbath? I want to say something no one's going to like, but I'll just confess, and it's very true. You don't even know what I'm going to say. And I know you're curious, Justin. I'm just going to let you sit in it for a minute.
I actually have a thought of what I want to say here.
Okay. I'm not surprised.
Do I talk too much?
No.
Just say the idea, man. Well,
so I want to tease this out. No, it's not even the idea. It's actually what happens when you're chronically overworking and you get to Sabbath. When I'm chronically overworking and get to Sabbath, Sabbath's not fun. It sucks so bad. I'm too tired to enjoy it. I'm catching up emotionally, physically from too much output. I haven't slowed down enough to enjoy my wife, to enjoy my kids, and vice versa. Haven't made enough time to connect relationally with my spouse. So it's usually a good old fat argument on that day because we've deferred connection moments out of busyness. Now, this isn't our pattern all the time. I'm just saying we easily fall into that when there's seasons and busyness and overwork. Sabbath then becomes a time to just basically you're falling into Sabbath. You're basically now everything's slowed down enough so you can feel it. And all the things you haven't dealt with are now there. And now it's actually a symptom of overwork before Sabbath. And so that shows me like, hey, maybe I'm building in this one day, but I'm like depleted on the whole.
Yeah.
So it's just to say.
Yeah. You might be running too hot the rest of the week. Yeah.
No, absolutely. So it's just to say, just know that nuance. Like it takes time to get into that rhythm. There's times when it's really, really enjoyable. But if you're overworking, Sabbath will be like coming down, but not the fun kind. It will be like, this is really hard to like recenter. And that's been my experience.
But you fumble through Sabbaths like that to practice the rhythm, right?
Absolutely. Yes. It's to say like, I'm saying don't be surprised if that's the case.
Right.
But that's always a great indicator that the week is, you're doing way too much during the week.
That's why you learn from rhythms like Sabbath. And so my closing thought here on point one with boundaries would be they're going to feel like guardrails, i.e. It's not comfortable when you hit them, but they do keep you safe. So if you're like, oh, but these are so hard. Well, yeah, they're boundaries. You're going to want to do more. You're going to mess up. And so just think of them as like the bumper rails, like the bowling ball might hit them. That's not a great roll. Ideally you're shooting down the middle, but life means you hit the boundaries. It kind of hurts. You mess them up. But that's why they're guardrails or boundaries. They help you.
Yes.
This will help you with number two. And that is that when you are home, you are very intentional about the second race, which is what I like to call it, which is totally a personal anecdote. One time, I think I might have shared this before.
I don't know. I don't know if I've heard this.
A couple years ago.
This better not suck. I'm just going to say.
No, I mean, it's kind of sucky. You tell me. All right, listen.
I'll tell you.
It's a minor thing. A couple years ago, we were at the 4th of July weekend with my in-laws down at Smith Mountain Lake, Virginia. And they thought it would be fun for us to invite us into their church was sponsoring like a little Tough Mudder event.
Oh, Tough Mudders. Yeah, dude, I've heard of these.
And it was super fun. It was a super good idea. I loved it. I ran as hard as I could and did these obstacles as hard as I could. And I lost by like 60 seconds to some like 22-year-old who was like, dang it.
Idiot.
In my late 30s, he's still more fit than me. Surprise, surprise. But I'll never forget at the finish line, it was like a 5K or maybe a 10K with all these obstacles. I can't remember. But he like ran off and like to the snack tent, like sat down and rested. Right when I got there, and mind you, I'd done pretty well. Like I got second place and lost to a 22-year-old. I went hard. Right when I got there, all the kids were like, oh, right, now it's the kid one. But they can't run it. They need me to carry them. So I pick them, like one of my sons up, put them on my shoulders and just do the whole thing again. And I'll never forget. I was like, I just had, and of course I was happy to do it. I was exhausted and would have rather been in the snack tent, maybe like resting. But I was like, oh, the difference between me and that guy. And this is, of course, no shade on him. He beat me fair and square and he's 22-year-old and fit. Great. Yeah. But the difference between that stage of life and mine is that
you have
after the hard race of your work day, you're not done.
It's your
the most dude. Important part is to come. And that is that now you're home and your kids want to be picked up. Your kids want to be played with. Your wife wants to be talked to be heard. She wants to be helped, rightfully so.
Or maybe played with too. Who knows?
Ideally.
We got to ask.
And so I think of it as, I always think of that moment as the second race.
Yeah, that's good.
When you get home, you need to be ready not to collapse and be like, hey, family, serve me now. You need to be ready to run probably the most important part of your day, which is the second race. And so I think of that just as an ethic. We talked about it last week with spiritual disciplines at work. Some of you are really disciplined in your work life, but not in your home life, or vice versa. And I would just give this encouragement to you fathers. I know that it is hard to come home from a day. You've woken up early. You've led your team. You've worked through the stress of finances and crisis and clients being mad at you. You've worked out. You've been patient with your coworkers. You get home at 6 p.m. and people are mad at you and they want more from you. And I'm just saying, welcome to the sanctifying, wonderful place of fatherhood. Run the second race. Yes. Don't give your family your worst just because you've worked hard all day. In fact, just know like that's the marathon you're running. You're not done at 6 p.m.
No, I actually really am so, first of all, that didn't suck. That was a great analogy.
Ladies and gentlemen, it did not suck.
It did not suck. But I do think though, that's an exact example of someone in their 20s versus their 30s in that sense, right? Like very tangible, like your shoulders get broader. Were you more fit? Not well, I mean, maybe, but what you have is way more endurance, way more grit, and your shoulders are now broader to hold now literally a child through a Tough Mudder situation.
Exactly.
You're actually a stronger human. Maybe he beat you by 60 seconds, but
he beat me in a specific kind of exercise. And it doesn't surprise me that a 25-year-old can crank more billable hours than I can.
Sure.
But your hours I'm living a life of writing, of work, of leading a law firm, of building, also, of family.
Your billable hours are also going to be a lot higher, right?
Like I'm doing a lot more work. Yes, and I just want to encourage you, Father, if it feels like that, it should. But that's a sign of your maturity, that you're no longer getting home and being like, oh, I'm so done from this work day, but rather being like, I'm still ready to help.
What I'm saying is, I think what you're painting is a very fair picture of like, if you're getting home being like, I'm really tired and I should have this, like, noted. I'm going to just say what fatherhood really is. It's getting home and not whining about the fact that that is something that's needed from you. And I don't mean to be rude by saying whining. I'm saying it is actually very much normal. And I don't want you to feel surprised. It's just naming this, that that is a very normal part of fatherhood, that you are tired and you go home. And I cannot tell you, the moment I walk in the door, do you know what I start doing? I just start picking up stuff. I don't say hi to my dog. My dog goes immediately to his bed because he knows I don't want to greet him. I want humans before animals. He knows. And he knows he's not allowed to greet me until I snap my fingers and say yes. If you think that's controlling, it absolutely is. But he's trained and we got him dialed. And I see my kids first. I want humans before animals. And then I just start picking up stuff. And then and I'm not telling you this as like, oh, big pat on the back. I'm just saying, just if you think this doesn't touch us, like, I literally don't even talk to my wife. There's stuff to pick up before I even get to her, wherever she's at in the house. Like there's stuff to help with right away. And if you can think about it from a wife's perspective, she's all day, depending upon her situation. I mean, we have a special needs daughter, four kids, like she's dying all day. And let me just be real. I am pouring out all day as well. And you are exhausted and that's true, but your wife's not coming to work to help you. And if she did, you'd be really thankful. But when you get home, it's your job to also then share that load, which honestly is needed and it's normal. And so if you're like, I don't even get to rest until I go to bed, it's like, dude, that's fatherhood.
Normal.
That's normal. Don't be surprised by that. Don't even get overwhelmed by that. You have different rhythms.
Right.
That's fine. And that's actually good. So just don't be alarmed. Like that is very okay.
And I think this very much bleeds into point three, helping at home.
Yes. Because I started dipping into that thing.
What's right on that subject. I think we're at our worst when the wife is saying, oh my gosh, like I've been dealing with the kids all day. I've been doing all this stuff all day. Mm-hmm. You've gotten to go away from the house and be away from all this. So now, she's saying that. And you're meanwhile saying, I've been run like a dog all day. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this and that, and you've gotten to be home, and now, and both of us are discontent with our work, jealous of the other's work, and expecting the other to do our work. Like we're at our worst when we're thinking like that. Here's where we're at our best. And by the way,
so true.
I know this pattern of thought intimately because Lauren and I have rehearsed this so often, right? And I'm like, yes. I would love for you to come and answer my emails if I could just stay home with the kids. And she was like, I would love to be out of the house if you would. Look, we're at our worst when we're talking like that to each other. Mm-hmm. We're at our best when we're saying, I bet it's been tough for you. Let me help. And guess what? I'm at my best when Lauren's saying that to me. She's like, oh, you probably had a hard day. Let me help. And I'm at my best and she's at her best when I'm saying that to her. I bet it's been hard for you. Let me help. So, consider the attitude of Christ. You know, being in very nature equal to God, but not considering equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he took the form of a servant. When both husband and wife are saying, how can I serve? How can I help? We're doing what Christ did. So we're talking mostly to guys. So I'm going to step on that perspective. And I'm going to say, when you're home, be of good use. You know, how you can figure out how to help with laundry. Sure. You can figure out how to help set the table. You can figure out how to help cook. You can figure out how to help clean. All the things that a certain brand of masculinity wants to identify as women's work is actually the work of the household. Yes, right?
Which is yours too.
Yeah, and every family is going to sort it differently. But I strongly believe your kids need to see you helping around the house. Now, also this includes the more masculine typed work, fixing the drywall, cutting the grass, taking out the trash. And I really don't have a dog in the fight of how you and your spouse want to divide up the work of the home.
It's not,
I could care less. What I really care about is that your wife feels like a queen because of how much you serve her, and that your kids feel like, oh, dad, no task is beneath him. Like he'll just help. He's a servant.
Absolutely, man.
So
that's real.
Let your kids are watching. Your kids are watching whether or not you help. So set a wonderful example. And by the way, dudes, make your wife feel like a queen. Whatever it takes, make her feel like a queen.
Oh, absolutely. Fathers, we are so excited to let you know of two resources that myself and Justin have been working on. First, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is available exclusively right now at intentionalparents.org or intentionalfatherhood.org. It is a 31-day guide to help you pray and focus with consistency on your family, your children, helping shape their hearts while God shapes yours. And of course, you've heard about it. Justin's resource, his new book, The Body Teaches the Soul, is available everywhere books are sold. This book is about the 10 essential habits that build a healthy and holy life, habits that strengthen how you lead your home. So we want to just encourage you, if you have not grabbed those resources and those are helpful, please take a moment, get those now, and let's get back to today's episode. And on that, but a little separate, is there's a, culturally, it's just been kind of coming to the surface more and more and more until where it's now just like the pendulum swing has been very interesting. And you know, there's a lot of expectation through culture. I think a lot of it's fueled by social media culture, but not exclusively, where there's this idea that everything needs to be equal. Like, hey, husbands and wives need to split that workload down the middle, 50-50, care for kids and all of that. And I'm going to say, now, if that works for you, that's great.
It's kind of like work-life balance, though. It's an illusion, Michael.
So
like, yes, where is the line?
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I want to just say, you are going to have gifts, sister, that your husband won't. And man, father, you are going to have gifts that your wife won't. And if you're giving a lot of your day to a job and your wife is staying at home, and sister's listening, if you are, if that's part of it, the workload of home and work, as far as him being at a job, they should be different. It would actually naturally be that way. And of course you want to serve one another, but this ideal that it's going to be like, hey, I did this much, therefore you need to be this much and do this much, you are going to ruin your relationship.
Yeah, that's a great word.
And
that's
so
a great
it's
word.
Just important to really be clear. It's okay that it's not exact. It's actually the heart. So if your heart towards your wife, men, is how can I help? I know I'm not going to do everything that you do, but I need to listen. I need to help. And that's going to change your heart. Now, let me just confess. I have not done, in the last probably 6 months, year, maybe 6 months a year, I have not done this great with my wife. My wife has started having to work and wanting to work more, but intentional has been growing. She's been working more. Mm-hmm. She's been saying like, hey, like, so pause work stuff, marriage, Brooke and Elizabeth, she's saying, hey, I have a lot more work on my plate now than I've ever mm-hmm. had before, but we're still operating like I'm a stay-at-home mom and you go to work all day. Now, when I didn't have as much work, this was fine. But I homeschooled our two youngest kids.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And I'm working more than half time. Yeah. We have to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks to me of like, well, you're my partner. You need to share the load. Now, in our situation, it's a little interesting because she's working more now. I'm working more now. I don't have any more time to give. And so what's really interesting, I was talking to my therapist about this yet again, and just processing like, what am I supposed to do? And he was just highlighting, he's like, she's coming to you as she naturally should as a wife to a husband to say, I need your help because this is overwhelming. The problem is you've already agreed that you need to be doing this job. Therefore, you can't take away from your job to help domestic things, like the home stuff. He said, you probably have to hire help with certain things. And I was like, but the idealism of my wife is she doesn't like to hire help for stuff. And he's like, it's like, that's the deeper thing you have to talk about. I was like,
yeah.
You know, and so things like we're looking at it going, okay, well, if you're working more than, and the house needs to be clean, then at what rhythm could we invite a house cleaner in? At what rhythm do we need to have some care for the kids so you can do this? Yeah. And so I'm telling you that really like gritty, earthy example to say, if both parents are working and that's kind of a necessity, start thinking outside the box for some of that domestic stuff. For a lot of years, Elizabeth was able to do it, but her health has declined. So we have help now because her health is not, she's not able to do a lot of the things that she used to be able to do. And I'm telling you that just to say like, it looks different at different stages and we've had to even dissect it that way. So we want to help. I still help in the home, by the way, FYI, but we just do it. We're doing it a little differently. So
I think that's the thesis right there of this point. It is going to look different for everybody because jobs are different. Life stage is very different. If you feel like this is hard and you both have more work than you can manage, know that you are in the realm of normal.
Good.
In fact, the vast majority. And Brooke and I, we're not going to have better advice for you than Philippians has.
No.
Yeah, the best advice for all situations is take the nature of a servant and say, you know what?
I love and serve.
I don't care about equality. I don't care about equality with God, something to be grasped. This doesn't have to be equal. Let me serve.
Yes.
When both people are saying that, marriages turn out phenomenally. When only one person is tough. When no one is, you're in the danger zone.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go too hard on that because we got to talk about kids now. So we got our last two here.
Let's do it.
Inviting kids into your work and teaching them to work. So for me, this is the idea of both one, pulling your kids into your job so that they can see like, what does dad do? What does it look like for him to do his job? Many of us, like me, have jobs that are primarily out of the home. And by the way, on computers, so they can't like come into the workshop. Yeah. They can't walk out to the shed and be like, oh, my woodworking father, like, look how he shapes a chair. You know, that'd be amazing. Most of us don't have jobs like that.
Nope.
How do you invite them into your work so they can see what it's like and what it means to work? And then the second point, and we're just going to intertwine these last two here. What does it mean to teach them to work? Well, I've struggled with this all my life because I'm a lawyer working on computers, generally out of the house. Mm-hmm. And so here are a couple things I do.
Yep.
One, if I do have to work a Saturday or a holiday, and this is often like something like Labor Day, ironically, or Memorial Day, or like I'm going into work, not always, but those Monday holidays, lawyers don't actually take them off. The kids are off school. I'll often bring them to work on those days.
Okay.
They might get a donut. They might get a show, but they get to come into my office, mess around with the paper shredder, mess up things, take candy out of people's trays.
They feel like the kings
here. They feel like kings. And they just get to see the environment. Yep. Number two, if I do have to work at home, if I have to maybe answer an email like while we're at the park or on a walk or just hanging out around the kitchen and I'm like, oh, this is urgent. I actually need to take care of this. When they were little, I would often get down on one knee and be like, hey, I got to answer a work email. So I'm going to tell this person, you know, and do they understand what I'm saying? Like, no. But not they fully, kind of like rooting an idea of like, okay, this is part of his job. Like let them, to the extent you can, let them see what you do.
Yes.
This has grown, now that my kids have grown, into something I know you do. And so I want you to comment on this.
Mm.
Inviting them on work trips. Not everybody travels, but you and I both do.
Yeah.
And one of the highlights of my past couple years has I've made a new goal, bring one kid on one trip every year.
Hmm.
They have been amazing, dude.
Hmm.
The kids think airplanes are amazing, rightfully, because airplanes are amazing.
They're pretty great.
They think staying in hotels and like eating amazing. Out is amazing, because actually they kind of are amazing.
So it's not
so
their norm.
Much quality time with them. And then they get to see like what I do. And most of these are speaking trips related to work and authorship and writing, not lawyering. Lawyering, I'm usually just working in Richmond remotely.
Yeah.
But it's just been a joy to bring them on trips. And I know you do this.
Well, yeah, I was going to say just, I won't add too much to it because I do a lot of the similar stuff that you just said, including them into it. With ministry work, it was really easy because it was like, hey, the church we go to, dad's here, dad's a pastor. Like they understood a lot of the work that I did because it was a part of their church as well. And so there was just a lot of natural overlap. In the nonprofit space, we have a studio for podcasting, right? So they're like, they come to the studio for different stuff. We try to, I really want to instill good leadership in our kids. And so I will, as it's appropriate, share, hey, here's something I've had to deal with at work today, whether that's with an employee, I'll keep names out of it, but like, here's a situation, here's something that I had to deal with, here's how I handled it.
When are you sharing this?
It will often be either before dinner or at dinner, like, hey kids, here's something I learned today.
Because that was that was on my list and I forgot to say it, sharing at the table.
Yeah, yeah, there he goes.
One of the things, we ask them to give a high and low of their day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I'm actually pretty bad at being like, well, such and such happened at work today because like they don't understand it. And I'm like, you know what?
You could dumb it down.
Who cares?
Yeah.
But also call them up, learn to dumb down. Either way, be like, so I was working on a transaction today where someone is trying to buy a
gear
factory.
Yeah. Well, that's actually fascinating. That's what I try to do. And then we have the privilege of like, we get to do these trips and we get to do, well, I speak, but then also I found that when we do motherhood retreats or fatherhood retreats, it's so cool because my older kids, by the time this comes out, are 17 and 14, Duke and Scarlett. I have one boy and three girls. And my kids are 17 down to 8. We have this, our older two, like literally fly with us and are a part of the team. That's so let me so just fun. Say this. They have jobs.
They're like apprentices.
Dude, well, you know what's so funny is like that
I got to watch this at the Intentional Fatherhood retreat.
So they could hear their dad answer amazing, masturbation dude. Questions on stage.
When I
that was so embarrassing.
That did happen.
That did happen. We'll talk
you got
more later.
To answer a question about masturbation with your with two my teenagers kids there. In the room.
That was a good thing Woo! We talk about. Yeah, anyway, we were going to say you were witnessing. Sorry.
No, I just saw you. Your kids were sitting at the merch table.
Yeah.
And one, I could tell already, it was like, oh, they got a work ethic. They're like doing a job.
Oh, they have to. They're getting, it's a free trip for
two,
them.
Like I watched you give them advice, like even on folding a t-shirt. And I remember you said, you know, details matter. This is how you do it. This is how you present. And I was like, this is cool.
Oh.
Because it wasn't like you weren't, oh, you're not doing it right. As we're so often prone to do, like just correcting our kids. You were showing them the best way to do a task because work is important and it ought to be done well.
Yeah.
And I just feel like they're going to have a memory of you of like, oh, my dad cared about work in such a way that invited me in, not like kept me out because I'm not doing it right.
Yeah. That's a good way to say
that, dude.
Well, let me just to land the plane on this. Thank you for saying it's very kind. And I would just say the thing that I love about these is we give them jobs. So like even, they knew the motherhood retreat was coming and it's like, okay, here's the deal. Scarlett, you're on merch. Duke, you're on merch, but then you're also on setup and tear down with the whole team. So you don't report to me. I told him, I was like, you don't report to me. You approach a chat or executive director, just like everyone else. And if he tells you to do something,
do you pay them for this?
Most of the time, no, we'll give them like a gift card.
Okay.
So we actually,
because I'm about to, I want to talk about chores after this. But
well, there's a level here where it's like, hey kids, you have to understand what it costs to bring you the whole, like you, what your pay is.
You're not worth it yet.
No, it's that at the end of the day, this is a lavish thing that you're getting to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Now we don't force them. We in our own way, whether that's like, hey, here's some money to go shopping while we're here. We don't do it directly all the time, but organizationally they might get a gift card, but that's just for legal purposes. We're not paying our kids, but it's also, I don't want them to feel like they need to get paid for everything. I want them to know, like, at the end of the day, you can just serve and that's good. Like, you don't need to get money for helping people. So that said, they have jobs and I don't let them report to me. They report to our team. And I'm like, Dad, when am I supposed to be at the venue? I was like, I don't know. You have to ask the team.
Ask Chad GPT.
He'll know. My job is to lead this team and to speak and to communicate. And here's my jobs here. And I know what my jobs are. And I can help get you the answers, but it's your job to be responsive to that. And they don't bat an eye. They love being a part of it. And so it's just to say, that's one way for us that they intimately know what we do, especially with these events, because they get to be a part of them and work them. And my hope, I had this thought the other day, my hope is that they grow up and these are such fond memories for them. But I had the thought the other day, I wonder how much of what God is calling us into and letting us do stuff like this is actually for my kids and less for me. And what I mean
by that— you're getting deep, dude.
Well, and what I mean is, like, this is kind of the truth for all of us, but I'm thinking specifically with what I do. My daughter's like an insane singer. When I say that, like, we just had all passion worship lead at Motherhood Retreat and she led with them. She's 14. And when I say she led with them, like, she led probably half the songs. Not because we're like, hey, passion, will you please let our daughter sing with you? But because she is sincerely that good and there's an overlap and there's a natural like connection with our friends there. And I was like, this girl jumped up and in every way was on par with this crew of professional musicians who lead all around the world, hundreds of thousands of people. And this is not a dad bragging as much as I'm thinking, I think the success of these things are about me. What if these things are actually about what God's called her to do, which is going to be way beyond what I could ever do.
Wow.
And it's actually part of her story to be in that space. And so he's giving us blessing through opportunity that's going to set her up for what he called her to do. I know it's getting meta, but dude, it's so big. It's like that for me a lot. And
that's
a
mate.
So when I get like overwhelmed in a good way about it, because I'm like, wow, I think it's about my success, but I wonder how much it's about what God wants to do in my kids. And so I don't know what your vocation is, but don't be surprised if he's called you into something really rad.
Wow.
That's actually for your kids even more than you.
That's a beautiful thought.
It's prayer, really, is at this point.
I think it perfectly sets us up for our final point here as well, which is your kids need to learn to work. Mm. And depending on where you are in the parenting stage, you need to be both inviting them into and encouraging them to work. So ways this happens in our house.
Yes.
I'm just huge on chores.
Mm-hmm.
Chores with the kids. They're generally not paid for this. They get a sort of allowance for being part of the household grind. But it's also actually less to compensate them for the work and more to teach them how to use money.
That's us too.
Okay, we're going to save, we're going to give, and we're going to spend. So, but generally, it's not like you do this chore, you get paid X dollars. Chores are just more like you're a part of the work of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And do they like that? Of course, they don't like that. Is it super important for you as a dad to be inviting them in, i.e. you're commanding them in, but you're inviting them in when you say, do this with me.
Mm.
So a ton of the ways that Lauren has chores for them around the house, they things they have to do after they get home from school before they're allowed to go play.
Yes.
Check the boxes. For me, more when I'm home, it's like cleaning the kitchen after dinner. And I'm like, you know, you have to help me do this. We're all doing it. We call it kitchen protocol now.
Because you didn't do it last night. I was saying you tried to fix the dishwasher. You were not following through on your job.
Last night was for the boys. We went out and hung out. And guess what? We woke up with a ton of dishes on the counter this morning.
Probably annoying.
Lauren was hanging out with her book club. I was hanging out with the boys.
Oh, that's great. Yep.
Anyway, sometimes that happens. But generally, my point is, it's a rhythm of expectation that our kids are going to work alongside us.
Mm.
And so much good relationship is taught there. I would just say
so true.
Two or three really brief things. A wise older parent once told me, if you do it alone, you'll always do it alone.
Mm.
Kids at first don't help. They hurt the process. But if you don't invite them in and teach them how to load the dishwasher or teach them how to build a bookshelf or teach them how to cut the lawn, you'll always do it alone. Who's going to teach them? Mm. They need to learn these things.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's incredible bonding time with you if you do it in a way that's not like, oh, you're doing it wrong. Oh, you're slowing it down. Oh, you mess it up. But rather be like, oh no. So if you do it like this is the best way, or like think about doing, you know, you're teaching them.
Mm.
My kids know, my older two, they know how to cut the grass now. They're
you know, that's amazing.
12 and 14, and it's great. One, because I don't have to do it as much.
Yes.
Almost never now. They do it. But two, I want them to make their wives feel like a queen. You know, they need to know how to cut the grass. They need to know how to patch drywall. They need to know how to hang a ceiling fan. Just, you know, stuff. So invite them in. But most importantly, then they realize that being a good worker around the household is the way that you help with the economy of love. You can't do hospitality without shared work.
That's so good. Yes.
And if they don't know how to participate in the work of the house, they don't know how to do hospitality. So they're missing the grand feature of the Christian life, which is keep a beautiful and well-functioning home to invite people into. Even my young, wild sons need to learn that. Like, this is not big time feminine domestic stuff exclusively. No. This is masculine. How do you keep a household? How do you do the work of it? Have pride in your work. Have pride in your house. If you're not doing chores with your kids, they don't know how to do that.
Well, it's kids learn how to work at home. And so if we're talking about work and all of that, they learn what hard work is at home. I think I'll just, to be brief, very brief, we use a Skylight calendar. If you've heard of these before.
Yeah, I've had people recommend that. We don't use it, but.
I don't know, for our younger kids, it's great. For older kids, they're like, what? But younger kids, they love like looking at their list. They check it off in the morning. Yeah. They have their list they go through. And it's a huge part. Like, your kids need to know how to do their own laundry and clean a bathroom well, not just like aspirate the stuff. We need to teach your boys not to pee all over a toilet seat. And if they do, wipe it up.
Now, it's taken so long, dude.
I only have one. You have four. Like, I mean, even with my one right now, he does well. But I'm just like, bro, real men don't pee on the seat. Please don't do that. And FYI, if you do, just clean it up.
Whenever they see me trimming my beard or shaving,
yes,
I always say, hey, dudes, a man is responsible
for all those
whiskers. Yes, he's responsible for his trimmings. Don't you trim your beard and leave that crap everywhere. I did that in college and as a young adult. And the guys I was living with are like, dude, what are you doing? Like, clean up your stuff. And I'm so glad they said that.
Dude, it's so real. And it's just to say, like, so just to land the plane here, I think that as we talk about family, as we talk about work and presence and, you know, this idea of work, family and your work, these aren't opposed to one another. They are intertwined. The real job is when you get home from work and it's to pour into your kids and your wife. The time, the days are long, the years are short, as I said. You will never be bummed about that investment. If you're overwhelmed and tired, that is the cost of admission for fatherhood. That's what it costs. Find rhythms and outlets to enjoy, to be refreshed, Sabbath, these things that we've already talked about.
Good.
But take these five things and where you can apply them. And note, like, there's going to be a lot of things that's going to come up for you as you're hearing this. Like, well, what about this chore and that chore? Like,
I suspect we're going to get the most questions on this episode. Yeah, send them in.
It's good. Send them in. And that's, and it is, it's really just to say, like, there's not a right way to do this. There's not an answer, and we're not going to lie to you. Like, you got to take this stuff and now overlay your actual life and your spouse and your kids and your situation, stage of life. So it's not straightforward, and it's also not that complex. So we want to encourage you to do it. Next week, another fun episode.
We got a good one.
Let's forecast.
We got two more coming for you.
What?
We got two more coming for you.
We're not doing just a normal length season. We're doing more.
Dude. Because we got two more important topics to cover. We need to talk about the value of being an amateur, working for the love, side projects, hobbies, things that are not your central vocation, but you love doing.
Yes.
And then that'll be episode 9. Episode 10, our last one, look forward to it, will be on legacy, the legacy of your work, leaving a legacy. But y'all have to wait a week or two for that.
My hobby is obviously bodybuilding. So let's just talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you laughing so hard? Okay, see you next week.
Next week, y'all.